May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who is the Son of God, the very King of Israel, the one we bow down and worship this day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, John 1, the call of Philip and Nathanael to be followers, disciples. We pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, Your Word is strong. Your Word is very powerful. It drew Philip and Nathanael to follow You. So may Your strong, powerful Word draw us close to You today to believe in You, to trust You, to confess You, to follow You. Grant us Your powerful Word in Jesus' name. Amen. We normally like things that are open. If you go to a restaurant after church today, you want the restaurant to be open. There's a problem eating if it's not open. If you go shopping today, you want the store you go to be open. If you got to go to the bank to get some money, you want the bank to be open. And by the way, I think the banks are closed tomorrow, aren't they? Martin Luther King Day. If you have an opinion you're sharing, you want the person you're sharing it with to have an open mind, we say. Consider my opinion, have an open mind. If you're playing football, you want your receivers on your team to get open, that they might be able to catch a pass. You want your offensive line to open a hole, we say, that the running back might be able to run through the open hole. That didn't happen a lot for Tennessee this past year, did it? But we have a new offensive line coach, I guess, now. We like things that are open. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus opens some things. When we come to church today, you want the door to be open. And it's really nice if someone opens the door actually for you. And if they have an open hand to shake your hand, an open hand is nice. Open arms to give you a hug maybe as you come into church. Welcome to God's house. It's very important right now that we have open ears, that we have an open mind, that we have an open heart. We don't want to close that off to God. We want that all to be open to God. In the gospel, Jesus opens things. The devil closes things. Jesus opens things. He opens the hearts of Philip and Nathanael that they would believe. He opens their mouths, that Philip would say to Nathanael, come and see. He's the first great witness, one of them of the New Testament. He opens Nathanael's mouth as Nathanael says, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. All that's compelled by Jesus. But above all, what Jesus promises to open here is what? Heaven. He's going to open up heaven. He's going to open up heaven. Can I hear an hallelujah? Hallelujah. The great climax of this gospel lesson is the last verse where Jesus says to Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus opens heaven for sinners. God and man reconciled again. We can get into heaven again, even as sinful as we are. What is Jesus really referring to is my question today. It's one of the great Bible verses that we have in the Epiphany season. I'm going to open up heaven, and the angels coming down means that as I open up heaven, something God's going to bring something down through me to the earth. And then the angels going back up means that Jesus will give something back to God. So something comes down, something goes up as the heaven is open, as Christ is here. What's he talking about? What is Nathanael going to see that pictures this? What do we see with the eyes of faith? You know, often we have kind of a mysterious, difficult Bible verse like this, and we tend to ignore it. Well, I'll preach on something easier, and I often do that. Pastors do that. But I thought today for a little 10-minute, 12-minute Bible study, we'd focus on this verse and really understand what it means when Jesus says, I'll open up heaven and something will come down, the angels descending, something will go up. What's he talking about? Three things, I suggest, for our meditation. Three great events, the three greatest events of Jesus' life he's referring to, all packed into one little Bible verse. He's talking about the cross, number one. Nathanael see the cross. He's talking about the resurrection, number two. Nathanael see the risen Lord and the heavens open because of that. And he will see the last day also. Christ is referring to the last day when he returns. All these great events in one little verse that Nathanael will behold that we behold. Let me explain. First of all, Christ is referring to his cross here. Nathanael, you're going to see something great. You're going to see me die on a cross. Hang on a cross 6 long hours and open up heaven for sinners. Jesus sees Nathanael under a tree. Something greater will happen. Nathanael will see Jesus hanging on a tree called the cross. Easy question. As Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday, what comes down? What comes down from heaven on to Jesus, symbolized by the angels descending on Jesus? What comes down from the Father on Jesus on Good Friday? In one word, it is the word punishment. What comes down from heaven on Good Friday is the wrath of God, the anger of God, the punishment of God for our sins. Every last drop of hell lands on Jesus. We might say what comes down from heaven is hell. God sends hell on Jesus because that's what we deserve. Not 50% of hell, not 90%, but 100% of God's anger and wrath. Every last drop lands on Jesus as our substitute. He's bearing it all. That's why it's dark for 3 hours. From noon to three, there's darkness. And Christ yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm suffering hell. Because all of hell is being poured out on Jesus. And what does Jesus give back to the Father on Good Friday? He gives his perfect life. His perfect obedience, his righteousness, his holiness. He gives his love to the Father. He gives love for mankind to the Father. He's the perfect one, the Holy One, the Son of God, giving his very life, his perfect life. That's why Jesus says, Father, into your hands I give my spirit. I'm not just giving you some money, giving you a little piece of hair or a fingernail. I'm giving my spirit, my life, my perfect life I offer to you that pleases the Father. You see, all hell is poured out on Christ that we be saved. That God's anger is appeased and that we be saved, we don't get hell. And then Jesus gives him his perfect life that the Father be pleased. Finally, there's somebody that pleases the Father. Finally, there's a perfect offering. Finally, God is pleased. And both are very important for salvation. This is reconciliation of heaven and earth. That we be saved from hell and that the Father be pleased by the righteous life of Christ. Illustration. If I was driving home today, and as I drove home, I ran over our church sign out here. Okay, I just ran over the church sign. Reckless driving. And say, by illustration, a couple things happen. Number one, you guys are mad. How could Pastor be such a fool? He runs over the sign. And every time you see the broken sign, you get mad at me. Look at that broken sign. Pastor ran over the sign. Why'd Pastor run over the sign? And then the police come out and they give me a fine. Say they fine me $5,000 for reckless driving. You're a nut, Pastor Busher. You drove recklessly. You could have killed people out there. We're going to fine you $5,000. We got a double problem. I got $5,000 fine that I can't pay. We got a church sign broken that makes you mad. We need somebody in the church to stand up. So we must do two things to make it all right. Number one, fix the sign that everybody be pleased. And number two, pay off my fine so I don't go to jail. Who volunteers? Mr. Hines, no. Maybe you fix the sign, but you wouldn't necessarily pay my fine. Let him suffer for a while. But both are needed for there to be really reconciliation. This is what Christ does. He takes the fine. He takes hell upon himself that we be saved. Praise be to God. But also he offers his perfect life to the Father. He fixes everything. Offering his perfect life to the Father, that the Father be pleased. And the Father can look at somebody who pleases him and not continue to look at our sinful lives and be angry all the time. He can now look at Jesus, the perfect one, and be pleased and happy. And as we are baptized and believe, he's pleased and happy with us too. The cross, Nathanael will see. Punishment coming down, the perfect life of Christ going up. We're back together with God. Reconciliation. Secondly, I believe that perhaps Christ is referring to the resurrection. Because Nathanael also will see the risen Lord on Easter evening. Nathanael, no doubt, is there. And he sees the risen Lord in all his glory there. And Of course, we know at the resurrection, angels actually come down. You have angels coming down. They roll away the stone, one of them, and they tell the women that Christ is alive. Angels are coming down at Easter, and they no doubt go back up too. But again, consider with me, what comes down from heaven to earth when Christ rises? It is not punishment. Punishment's been all been laid on Jesus. He took it all away. God's no longer angry and mad. So what comes down from heaven in the resurrection? Peace. Grace. Forgiveness for all sins. That's why Jesus says his first words on Easter evening to the disciples is, "Peace be with you." And he says that two or three times, "Peace be with you." Peace. Unending peace, the forgiveness of sins, the grace of God. And it's not just Easter day, it's every day. When Jesus says the heavens will be opened, literally it means the heavens will continue to be opened. It's not just a momentary opening and then it closed back up again. But he's saying the heavens will continually be open now because he will die and he will rise. And now there is peace today. The heavens open today. Whenever we gather, the heavens are open. If heaven's not open today and God's not pouring out peace and forgiveness, why are you here? Why come if heaven's closed? There's no purpose. But heaven is open today. And by the absolution and by communion, the body and blood, the peace of God comes down to us because Christ died and rose. And God, we say at communion, depart in peace. Your sins are washed away. That ever comes down endlessly from our God. It's called the gospel. Now, I read where the largest chocolate candy bar ever made was a candy bar that weighed, guess how many pounds? 12,290 pounds of chocolate candy bar. 21 feet long, 3 feet high. Now, that's my kind of candy bar, huh? You would get sick trying to eat that thing. Endless chocolate. Endless pleasure, although you will get sick. Here and for the last 2,000 years in the house of God, we don't have endless chocolate and endless pleasure. We have endless peace. Not in something that's 21 feet long and 3 feet high, but we have endless peace in bread and wine. A little wafer and a little wine, because that is the body and the blood of the risen Lord. And there is peace and forgiveness and mercy in your mouth and your heart. And it is endless. May we never take it for granted. Things may be closed in your life. You can't find a job. The doctor says you're sick and dying. There may be things in your life that seem closed. My health, the path to happiness is closed on my health. I won't get a new job, that's closed. And it discourages us. Heaven is open! Look up, dear friend. Heaven is open to you, not barely cracked open. It's wide open with the blessing and salvation of God. So why fret so much? What goes back up to God at Easter? Coming down is peace. What goes back up, what's been going back up the last 2,000 years from God's people and the angels, it's called praise. Praise and praise and praise goes back up. Peace comes down and the praise goes up and the praise goes up and the prayers go up and the prayers go up endlessly. And so the church shouts, Alleluia. Say it. Alleluia. One more time. Alleluia. And then finally, he's referring to the last day. So much packed in a few words of Jesus. So much to mull over. We're like Nathaniel under our own fig tree, which is called the cross, meditating, pondering what Christ has done. It's a good thing to do, to sit and ponder. And the last day. What does Jesus bring down the last day? He returns. What's he bring down? Power and glory. All right, the cross, you have punishment coming down. You have the perfect life going up for us. Easter, peace comes down from God and the praise goes back up. And now the final day, you have the power and the glory of Christ comes. He comes with all the angels. The angels come down with him, the Bible says. And all the power and glory of God with him. No longer is his glory masked and hidden. No, it's his full, brilliant, unhidden, unmasked glory that we behold. Nathaniel beholds and all God's people behold. We'll see that on the final day. That all comes down. And what goes back up? Another P word, people. we go up. For Christ comes and He raises the dead. He'll raise Nathanael from the grave and give all believers a new body, a glorious body, the body that is immortal and powerful, and we will ascend to be with the Father forever. We go back up. This is where we're part of the story, you see. We're going to ascend with the angels to the presence of the Father to live with Him in His heavenly home, paradise, forever. Read an article this week, 20 tips to re-energize your life. And they gave 20 tips to re-energize your life. You know what number one on the list was? This is shocking, amazing discovery. The number one thing to re-energize your life every day is coffee. Duh, right? I need some great article on that. Didn't we know that already? Coffee? I guess coffee can help with cancer and strokes, and you can be 20% less depressed if you drink more coffee. We ought to drink a lot of coffee. You won't be so depressed. Coffee's a good thing, fine thing. I'll tell you what energizes my life, especially on the dog days of winter when you're tired and you don't feel well, maybe a little bit grumpy. It's not coffee. I pray that what would energize our lives is Christ. His cross would energize us. His resurrection would give us energy. The fact He will return again in glory would give us energy to serve God. Jesus, He's our joy. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our strength. He's our energy, our power to get up in 2012 and live every day for my God because of Christ. Jesus opens a lot of things. May He ever open our hearts. Don't close your heart. Keep your heart open to Him. May He ever open our ears that we be glad hearers. Open our mouths soon that we eat and drink of His body and blood and praise Him and confess Him. Praise be to Jesus who above all has opened up heaven. He's opened up heaven, dear friends. What's He opened up? Heaven. And the church cries out, Alleluia. One more time. Alleluia. The praise ascends. Praise be to Jesus who's opened up heaven. It remains open. Don't miss it. Heaven is open. It really is. For you, Nathanael, Philip. Amen.